Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee on the 7th of November. The first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. We have them from Councillor David Poore and Councillor Fred Cagle. Does anybody have any further apologies at all? Or is that everybody anyway? Agenda item 2, the minutes of the meeting held on the 10th of October and the 24th of October. If we could confirm those minutes, does anybody have a proposal in a second of noting those minutes? Yeah. Okay, we have a proposal in a second. Thank you very much, you two. All those in favour of noting those minutes? Brilliant, thank you very much. We have declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. I have a couple this week. So the planning application 22-23924, Exmouth Football Club. I would say I'm an acquaintance of the chairman of the football club and have met him on several occasions, not about this but about other things. And that also applies to the licensing application. I said I'm not a player, don't worry. So that also applies to the licensing application, and obviously there's my usual chair of licensing thing for that as well. Does anybody else have any? Councillor Bailey?
Personal interest, H. Carver and Sons.
Cool.
Thank you.
Councillor Anderson, Lee?
Mine's H. Carver and Sons. I'm a trustee of Exmouth Welfare Trust that purchase all their white goods from H. Carver and Sons.
Anybody else? Councillor Dunford?
Yes, 22-23924 Ball, the place of town. I'm a close neighbour and I can hear any of the activities going on at the weekend. And also the Boxhalls one, 22-2385, I'm on the partnership board of the AOMB.
Okay, thank you very much. So we move to item number 4, urgent business, and we do have a permission in principle application 22-2407 PIP. Land adjoining Fordy Green, EX82QR, and this is for permission in principle of a new dwelling. I'm just going to read out from the government website very basically what is permission in principle. So the permission in principle consent route is an alternative way of obtaining planning permission for housing-led development, which separates the consideration of matters of principle for proposed development from the technical detail. So the permission in principle has two stages. So the first stage, permission in principle stage, which is what we're looking at today, establishes whether or not a site is suitable in principle. And the second stage, the technical details, is when the details of that development are assessed. So today we're looking at whether or not the site is suitable in principle. Is that correct, Lance?
Correct.
Brilliant. So we are being consulted in terms of loss of countryside, loss of employment land or development in a floodplain. And are we considering things like, when we say non-material considerations, does that mean that's what we're not considering today? Right, so we're not considering things like loss of view, boundary and neighbours, drainage systems and things like that, just whether or not the site is in itself can be developed on in principle. Okay, which ward is this in?
It's in Littleham Ward.
Okay, has anybody actually had a chance to look at this one?
I can bring it up on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I can't speak on that one, sorry. Yeah, I've had a look on Google. The this is the site here, proposed site for development. And this is it on Google Maps. They are proposing development of next to this, on the side of these two houses here. It's quite obviously very scant on information. Existing parking space, indicative dwelling, so it's, and it looks like a semi-detached dwelling on that plot of land to the existing two, so it's just built on the side of here. And it's whether or not members agree in principle for this development.
Okay, Councillor, it's in your ward, so Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Looking at that, I can't see how we could object in principle, because just up the road on the right hand side, there have been two new houses which were built about 10 years ago in a plot similar size on the junction between Midway and Nelson Drive. I don't know if you're familiar with that, just opposite the park. So, seeing the precedent's been set for them on a similar sized site, I would say in principle, as long as it blends in with what's already there, is it going to be a standalone house or semi-detached?
It would be a terraced, by the looks of it.
Is it going to be built on as an end of terrace? Right. I would say in principle, I have no objection.
I'm thinking in terms of what we're looking at specifically here. I'm just seeing if there's anything more on the website about it, because it's completely new to me. It's not something I've seen before, although I was aware of it. I mean, there's not going to be any loss of countryside, would you say? Because there's no countryside.
It's a grown hedge, there's no garden, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not employment land at the minute.
No.
It's outside of the sort of major flood areas.
No, it's within the building line.
Yeah. Okay, so are you happy to propose that we have no objection to that in principle?
In principle?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not further to go.
Yeah. Does anybody else want to speak on that?
No.
I'm not sure. And that is not. Is that a concern of the minute? Who owns the land? It's not, is it?
I think it's probably. It's probably a council house that's been acquired. It's probably been bought by somebody.
Mm.
But in terms of our decision today, we can't.
Well, if they've sold it off to somebody else, I think that's a gross misjudgment. Because they could have done, there was a company set up to build just that high, you would see. They could have built social housing on that.
Absolutely. And I think.
For the younger ones.
Yeah, if that's something you want to, that you think you take up, and, you know, we can speak to our London district representatives. But in terms of this planning thing, because they can, you can put a planning application for a bit of time, you don't own necessarily. So. Councillor Toy, I completely take it.
Yeah, I wonder whether we can agree in principle that a building could be put there, but we're not particularly in favour of that particular building that's proposed at the moment.
That's exactly what we're doing at this point.
Just a building.
It's just a building. They put a kind of representative, this is what we're looking at potentially, but it's just whether or not they can build there or not. So, did you have a hand up with that?
Yes. Yes, I did. I was just going to ask the question, I think. Lisa was putting something up on the screen about who the applicant was and that sort of detail.
Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones is the applicant.
In the application, he has had to disclose that he is the landowner. So it is not a council-owned property anymore. It is privately owned. So he's exercised his right to buy, or somebody's exercised their right to buy, and it's now in private ownership.
Because that's included, that land.
That's, yeah. And that is part of the garden for the property.
Yeah. That was all I needed to know.
Okay, thank you. So, again, right to buy. Councillor Frank Ellis.
Going forward, we give the commissioner how much weight does that carry going forward? When we see the full plan, how much weight will this decision we make today carry?
As far as I can tell, looking at it, we still have every right at that point. If it's not suitable, or you know, if it doesn't meet all of the usual criteria, as far as I can tell, we're still well within our rights not to necessarily accept it. It's just whether or not, in principle, if the building is right and everything else is right, we can say yes, you can build there, but then everything else is reserved until the later thing. Is that right, Ron?
I think, yeah, in terms of design and etc., it's all matters reserved, I think. It just seems to be the principle in itself of development.
So what advantage does a guy have putting this in? What's the point of it? I don't really understand the point of it.
I'll send you the link to the website, I'm not sure either. But there's a huge, great government sort of explanation of it on the Gov website, and it's which is where I've learned about it today. But
I was going to say, I aren't second Brian's proposal in as much as that there are other areas in Litland where they've done exactly the same, not just on the corner that Brian's referring to. There's one also on Silterton Road, there's another one round the back and very close, there's another one round, you know, there's four or five opposite Tesco's, there's one they've just built, which was somebody who bought the house and they've added one in. So I don't see that we can do that. But certainly, if it is in principle, as we are doing today, you know, to answer Frank's point, yes, I mean, when it comes in, if it's a three-storey, you know, totally out of keeping, you've still got, it's just a case of moving principle, do you think it's okay to build on that bit of land? And I have to say, I don't think we've got any reason to say no when you look at the others in different.
One thing has to show that the usual terms and conditions will apply, because it has to be applied for through planning permission.
Yeah, so completely, they'll have to put in a separate sort of second application. I guess it's kind of like a smaller version of the outline and reserve lands, but it's just for like sort of
This is the first time that I've heard of this type of application, and apparently from I questioned it with East Devon, and the reply was, oh, it's a fairly new application, and they've actually only had 10 in the whole district this year. So it's very, very new, and I've never heard of it. So,
I think the intention is to so that people don't have to go pre-planning, they can put in a principle so they can see it's a possibility before they start, spending money and do it. You know, I think that's the idea behind it, for the applicant to at least know if it's a possibility rather than.
What I don't understand is the difference between this and an outline application, because to me it sounds the same, but perhaps we'll get some clarification.
So you need to read the website, but there's a very real difference between the two.
Okay, so we do have a proposal and a second for approval. So all those in favour of permission in principle? Anybody here? Oh, that's unanimous. Oh, you put your hand up for then, Andrew.
Councillor
Erickson. Okay, thank you, folks. So we now move to tree and advertising consents. The first application on here for the dairy, we're going to look at that next time because we haven't got the tree officer's report yet. The second application in Littleham, planning application 22-2079-tree, 54 Douglas Avenue. The proposal is for a T25 beech crown lift by 3 metres above ground level and prune northwestern and western aspect by the two lowest limbs by 3 metres, maximum diameter cuts of 60 millimetres. The upper canopy by 1.5 metres with a maximum diameter cut of only 30 millimetres. ever seen them so low. Reduce the upper southwestern canopy by 2 metres with a maximum diameter cut of 25 millimetres, even lower. Reduction of heavy limbs growing towards the property, pruning for weight alleviation and to achieve a balanced crown. And the second tree is T22, silver maple, crown reduction by 2.5 metres with a maximum diameter cut of 40 metres. And, reduce etiolation and pruning to achieve a balanced crown. I don't know what that means. Does anybody know what etiolation? Could we get a dictionary.com?
Yeah.
I'm just interested, really. While that happens, the tree officer's report has been previously circulated to members. I must admit I'm guilty of not having looked, because I don't remember seeing that. And their recommendation is for approval. Mm-hmm. We have a representation from Councillor David Paul, who has no objection. Etiolation is a process in flowering plants grown in partial or complete absence of light.
Gets all thin and weedy.
Yeah.
So it reduces,
basically.
Like me.
Something every day.
Oh, I see. So maybe it's to give light to the plants underneath. I don't know. But yeah, it gets all that thin and weedy. Right. Okay, so Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I'll go along with the tree officer's report and suggest that he uses language that we all understand in the future, Chair.
Google is our friend, so. but yeah, like it. Do we have any questions for Britain? Does anybody else want to comment? Because I'm happy to second that. Oh, so Councillor Nathan, sorry. I was looking for Britain. I'm sorry. Oh, this is Littleham, anyway.
He's from Brixton.
This is one from
Littleham.
I didn't forget you're from Brixton. I forgot we weren't from Littleham. How much has that been a really long day? Does anybody else have anything they wish to say about this? Because I'm happy to second it from the chair.
Go for it.
No? Okay, we have a proposer and a substandard chair wishing to second it from the chair. All those in favour?
We will vote for it.
We will vote for it. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, crikey. Right, so. We have planning application 22-21393, 19 Cypress Gardens, and we are again waiting for the tree officer's report. So, and we have time for both the two that we're deferring to do next time just. Ron's will have to pull an all-nighter again. Okay, so now we move to an advertising consent. Now, this is 22-1810 advertising, H. Carter & Sons, 28 Royal Street. This is the installation of new shop signage. Now, we looked at this last time. I sent an email, I assume you've got it, but just in case you didn't. We looked at this last time. We very, very reluctantly couldn't really see a reason to object to it. But in terms of it being a characterful old building on the edge of a conservation area with an old style shop sign that is, although in a state of not the greatest state of repair, is still quite an attractive feature. So Ron's expressed in her report that we weren't objecting to it, but that we. It was a reluctant acceptance of what they were proposing, and basically, as far as I can tell, the officer at East End said, you've still got time to look at it again, and gave some reasons why potentially our decision wasn't necessarily the right one, is that fair? Or our decision, because we were really unsure about it, those who weren't here, we were really unsure about it. Because it's really attractive sort of shop, but anyway.
They basically said that we can give significant weight to the Exmouth shop front guidance, which seeks to protect heritage assets.
That was the other thing I meant.
So where we thought that it might not have as much weight, the planning officer said that they felt that it was quite legitimate to use that. We thought we ought to bring it back because maybe members didn't realise that could be used as a significant consideration if members are minded to do so.
And also Councillor Dunford wasn't here and he gave us the opportunity to hear his views as well. So we will start with Councillor Dunford.
Yeah. Well, that was very kind of you, Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much. And it's actually a shop front that I remember from when I was a boy all those years ago, many. And sort of attractive. I wouldn't say it's the most attractive shop front ever. The other thing I'd say about this is that the Euronics branding, if you like, is always a bit garish, I think. And I mean, they've got this long thing that they're intending putting on and a great big fascia board on the front. So I'm not that keen on it, but I sort of take the point that it's difficult to talk it down. I also feel that I'm not sure how, because I think that shop front probably dates from the early 50s, something in that order. And I do wonder whether the main thrust of the shop front policy is about earlier ones, where they're wooden, they're not neon lit, they're not, whatever. I don't know. I'm in the same position that you were 2 weeks ago. I'd like to see it retained, but on the other hand, I know they want to put up their Euronics branding, and I can see commercial reasons along with their local routes, etc.
I think one of the considerations that I was giving last time was just around the corner you had a shop and it was called The Exchange or something.
Yes.
And its sign was very much the same set of colours but reversed, so it was yellow, blue or yellow. And that's not there anymore. I found out the day after. But I'm this doesn't help, does it? But I'm still really torn on it. Personally, you all heard me speak last time, so I won't again. Councillor Elson and Bailey, then.
My only concern, Chair, is that we're consistent, and when we're back along before we had some of the other places that have done the Holman and Ham, those are the days when Holman and Ham were on the corner before we had Prezzo's. We had the same problem that it was a similar building to like you've got on this corner. And we went through all this dilemma then. In the end, we had to come down on the fact that, yes, it's a national, we had to go down with it. And if you look at other places in Exmouth, where, as I say, the only concern is, we've set precedents in the past where we've actually agreed it, and there have been similar buildings, 50-ish type buildings, because we've got quite a few of them in Exmouth. And that's the only thing. I don't like it, I'm the same as you, but I just think perhaps, we've got to be a little bit consistent that if we don't do it for one, we do it for another. And we've had some very garish ones come along, some that have planning permission, some that did it and then asked for planning permission that we didn't take down. So unlisted buildings, and I just think, if we haven't gone hell for hand for them, can we do the same for this?
Okay, thank you for that, Elaine. Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I believe that if you see on the corner where that lamp post is, you can see those two white washing machines by the other things. That was the original door many moons ago.
Yeah.
I think probably in the late 60s, early 70s, the whole shop front was redesigned as it stands now. Mm-hmm. So before there were smaller windows, the door was on the corner.
Yeah.
Now the door is up there away from the junction, which makes sense. I'm not going to vote on it because I declared a personal interest, but I can't see the if it went to appeal, I can't see the appeal officers are turning it down, to be honest with you. It's modern, but it's not, as Councillor Elson says, it's been a lot worse. So, thank you, Chair.
Absolutely. Thank you, Councillor Brightford.
Yes, I can understand why they want to change it. I mean, they're selling technical stuff, probably highly technical equipment, and it doesn't go with selling it behind an old-fashioned looking shop front. So this is why I think it's quite valid to allow it to be changed. When you come to think of it, changes that happen to shop fronts in Broad Street. I mean, look at the changes that happen to the wrong buildings. You go back a few years and it's completely different. And that is probably just a building, isn't it? Wrong buildings, I don't know, but it should be. So I think, you know, I'm not too bothered about its appeal. It doesn't seem wonderfully attractive to me, but then that's, you know, appealing is in viewers' eyes, isn't it, really? So I would not object to them changing it to a modern shop front, which is in keeping with the other modern shop fronts that are on High Street.
Okay, Councillor Frank Ellis.
I don't know, I mean, I've had a look at it, but not really, real closely. I mean, the Carter sign isn't great, but the stonework behind it matches the stonework at the lower level, and that's actually quite nice. So I can't see any reason to, and the surrounding area has very similar new modern sites. I can't see really being fair to refuse the permission to do it. But can we just make a note that they can try and preserve the stonework behind it, so in the future, when they say the modern, you sign off, that stone will be preserved behind the new sign.
Does that sound fair?
I think that sounds fair.
Good point. It looks like dressed stone,
Yeah.
Okay, so anybody else wish to speak on that one at all then? So are you happy to propose or not propose?
Yeah, I'll propose acceptance on with the various
the consensus that you've raised. I think Frank's comment is really helpful.
Absolutely.
I can add an informative on the report about preserving the stonework.
Yeah.
I think that's what all we can do there is this as an informative to the applicant.
Yeah.
If possible, could it be preserved?
Yeah, I think we've done what we can then.
Yeah.
I think, haven't we? And I'm happy to second that. So we do have a proposal and a second before acceptance. All those in favour? All those against? And abstentions?
I will be voting against.
Okie dokie. Right, so now we move to Brexington. Planning application 22-2334 full, 68 Valley Way. First of all, rear extension over existing land. We have no comments from statutory consultees, no representations. The Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan policy is, I'm going to read it properly because EB2. New development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement. 2005. Okay, Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
Well, I was so enamoured of it, I had to print it off. I just couldn't keep pace with it. It was refused in 23rd of June 2022. They refused that the certificate of law for use of development, which is what they're reapplying for. But to be honest, I can't see much difference in what they're proposing the second time around to from the first time.
Is that okay?
I'm trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a certificate of
lawful development?
Yeah. So I'm assuming they have to submit an application because it doesn't come under.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah. So they possibly submitted a certificate of lawful development, but the scale or the scope of what they're trying to do doesn't fall within the remit of a certificate of permitted development. And therefore, they've had to submit a full planning application.
Right.
That's what we think.
Mm.
So, for example, if you wanted to put a dormer extension in my house, for example, I could do that under a permitted development certificate. I don't need to apply for full planning permission, but it can only be a certain width and extend out so far. And if it exceeds those criteria, then I'd have to put in a full planning application. So that's what we think has happened.
So it's not that they've applied, we've refused.
No, it looks as if it didn't meet the criteria for it to be considered under permitted development, and therefore they've had to put in a full application.
For example, there was one that's backdated, you know.
No, I think that's what's happened.
No, there's one 3 pages later.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know what to say. I can't. It doesn't look much different, except the internal upstairs is different.
Do you feel that it's something you could accept, though, in terms of this application taking on its own merits?
Well, it's I don't think, as far as I can make out, it's overlooking.
That's fine. So, should we go to Councillor Coleman and then if you want to come back, Councillor Coleman?
Yeah, I wasn't aware this has been up before. I wasn't aware this has started being on before. I had a look at it. I couldn't see a problem with it, except it's. Basically, it's a second floor, first floor extension on the top of the sitting room. It doesn't look like it's overlooking anybody, it's out back. I couldn't see an issue with it myself. I had to let it go through. Look what it
did.
Well, it was overhanging. As far as I can make out, it was overhanging or exceeding the measurements that they're supposed to.
Yeah,
and I presume they just pruned it back to get just inside that.
I think, I mean, in terms of the style of it, and if it is in keeping with the other buildings, bearing in mind that it's EB2, is the thing we're looking at as well.
I think that on Valley Way, there's a bit of everything. It depends what style you are.
So it has no style there. All the styles. Okay, so Andrew, are you prepared to propose acceptance?
Yes.
And are you happy to second?
Yeah.
Okay, so we do have a proposer and a seconder for acceptance. Does anybody else want to speak on that? Sorry, I didn't see you. Councillor
Would you want to be able to bring up a photograph or a plan of what's. So unfortunately, I've actually left my computer.
No,
it's all the same. Thank you.
So it's this is the extension here, which is over the lounge. Mm-hmm. Currently, the first floor finishes here, where I'm hovering the cursor, and they're seeking to extend over the lounge and make this bedroom with an ensuite. If I show you the existing first floor, you'll see the difference. So here, so that's what it looks like currently, and you can see that's the lounge underneath, and they're seeking to extend.
A location plan on everyone speaking.
Sorry.
A location plan. This is at the rear of this property, which is going on to the wooded area, so it's not overlooking anything at all.
Yeah.
No.
There's a lot of higgledy-piggledy-ness there, isn't there?
Yeah. Right, thank you very much, Ross.
Okay, so we do have a proposal and seconder for acceptance. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay. I'll tell you what others said. Thank you very much. Right, so we move to Harrison. Planning application 22-22984, 32 Willow Avenue, a single storey rear extension, loft extension incorporating the rear hip to gable and side porch extension. We have no comments from statutory consultees. no representations. Again, this is excellent neighbourhood plan policy, EB2. I am, because you've written it, that there are two previous applications for this which have been refused. If we go to Councillor Lynn Elson.
I've looked at these plans and I've taken into account the previous plans, and I still think that it is a very substantial planning application. There's quite variable properties in Willow Avenue because there's been quite a few changes. However, I'm still not happy with this, and I still feel it is contrary to EB2, and I still wish to propose refusal.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Yes, I agree with that. I don't think it's in keeping with the neighbourhood plan. I know the first one was a one-sided building, which was a bit awkward. So this balances it up from the street aspect, but I still think it's unattractive. And unfortunately, we've got many unattractive changes to the roof lines along that road. But I don't see why there's any reason why we should compound the problem of unattractiveness. So I think we should stick by our neighbourhood plan and object to it.
So that would be on the grounds that it isn't
in keeping with the previous. Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have a comment on this one at all? Okay, so we have a proposer and seconder for refusal. So that's Lynn and Brian. So all those in favour of refusal? Okay, that's unanimous. We now have another wholesome one, 22-2312 Fole, 17 Mudbank Lane, and the addition of a Cadiz retractable pergola, only situated on the first floor balcony on the street facing elevation. We have a comment from Councillor Paul Miller. There he is. That there have been other applications of this nature. Some of the houses were built, I believe. And Councillor Paul Miller recommends approval. Again, this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Policy EB2. Councillor Brian Toy.
Well, yeah, there's no problem. Nearly every other property now, it's got one of these retractable, so there's no reason why we should object to it. Tick half of the course there.
Councillor Nelson.
I can tell what Brian said.
I do remember we had quite an impassioned speech about these from a district council member at one point.
When the first one came along, the second one, we did have a problem with one of them that was on the end, didn't we? But once that had gone through, we had a rush at them. So.
Yeah, that was a retractable policy we made.
Yes, just to confirm that this is a Cadiz retractable policy. Not just any retractable pergola. Right, okay, so we have a proposal and seconder for exceptions. All those in favour? All those against? And all abstaining? Did you put your hand up?
I was writing away then. I don't know, I'm for it, Mr. Chair. Sorry.
Okay, so that's unanimous then. Okay, so we now move to 22-2382 Full, 75 Mount Pleasant Avenue, a single storey rear extension and demolition of an existing conservatory. We have no comments with statutory consultees or representations. And again, this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EV2. Councillor Lynn Elson.
No problems with this at all, Chair. That's 99 in the road, but also the Mount Pleasant Avenue has had so many different extensions and things. But actually, this improves what was there with the conservatory, so I've got no objection.
Councillor Brian Toy?
Yes, you're virtually replacing that conservatory with a modern, up to standard, well insulated building, so it's to be welcomed, really, so no problem.
Well, it seems this simple every week. So we have a proposal and a seconder in favour. So all those in favour of being in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you very much. So now we move to Littleham. Planning application 22-1202 Full, 20 Portland Avenue. A garage block with independent living accommodation over. These are amended plans. These amendments relate to the amended design to a single-storey building. The conservation officer does not wish to comment. The town council on the 15th of August objected. It was noted that the East End tree officer had not been consulted on the application. The impact on neighbouring trees should be considered, especially in relation to the construction of the drive, and a tree survey should be requested, including appropriate landscaping plans that include replacement trees. So that was what we said in August. Councillor David Poor says that overlooking issues have been addressed, fencing will reduce the overlooking effect, and some trees and planting near the boundary would help. We have, at the time of writing, five representations, but they were in respect of the previous plans. And EB2 applies here, it is in a conservation area. Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I'm not exactly delighted with it, but it is a little bit better than the last, so I would recommend approval. Right, we've got no objections, no strong objections, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, does anybody else look at this one at all? Can we get it up? Is that all right? Nothing there.
That's a revised design. There you go. So previously it was a two-storey, so they've taken it off the top and put it on the side.
Oh yeah.
It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so having seen that, does anybody have any comments? I mean, bearing in mind the conservation office. Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to ask whether we'd, because this obviously was a discussion that would have been led by Councillor Mike Rossett on the last occasion. Well, I remember it anyway. And I just wondered whether he obviously hasn't made a comment, and I didn't hear an apology from him either. I don't know. Perhaps I missed something.
Anybody else have any comments at all? There haven't been any comments from Mike on this at all, have they?
No.
And nobody's come back and said anything about the tree officers before either.
No, Lisa was just looking it up and there isn't anything.
I mean, we can't force them to do what can we, unfortunately.
Yeah. No. I think, if I'm recalling this correctly, it was Leigh Landai, and so, yeah, they're not protected.
Right, okay.
But it was, yeah.
Right, so that was it. So conservation.
But we did ask for the tree officer just to have a look on Google Earth, and he sort of made those comments that
right. It
would be nice to have some replacement planting, but he's not been officially consulted.
Okay, so not been officially consulted. The trees in question aren't protected trees. I mean, we can certainly put in a condition about, not a condition, but just a comment about how it would be preferable if replacement, if landscaping was considered. Do you think that's fair, Brian? Think it's your word? Well, I'm happy to second in that case then. I think so. Approval, but with a comment regarding landscaping afterwards. So you do have the program a second before approval. So all those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Section 22.1925 Full, 9 Mare Road, construction of a single storey timber clad contemporary garden building. An old fashioned one. So, Councillor David Corr has said no objection, there are no other representations, and this is Exeter Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Yeah, Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I have no objection. I'd just like, if possible, to make a note that it's not used for holiday accommodation or anything like this.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, Chair.
Certainly. Okay. Any other comments?
Happy to second Brian's proposal. I have looked at the plans and I'm happy.
Okay, brilliant. So, proposal and second for approval. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous again. So, planning application 22.23854 Full, 60 Foxholes Hill. The proposal is design amendments to the application 21.3323 Full. Ground floor, rear extension, loft conversion, new first floor bedroom, new front porch cover, and repositioned entrance installation of the panels to roof. So that's what we was approved before, and there's amendments to those designs. Councillor David Paul has no objection. You can't see any overlooking issues. Have a good game, sir. One comment in support, no objection to the amended plans, appear to be minor and not impact on amenities or living conditions. And this again would be Exeter Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Brian Healy.
Thank you, Chair. Recommend approval, Chair.
I think, bearing in mind all of the comments, as well, I'm happy to second that from the Chair. Anybody else want to comment at all? No? So, proposing a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Cool, that's nice, thank you very much. So now we move to application, but this is Town Board now, 22.2392 Full, the King George V Ground, Exeter Town Football Club, Southern Road. This is for the installation of covered stands, erection of new barricades and alterations for a Grade D upgrade. And I looked at what that was. So basically, I think they got promoted, they want promotion a couple of times. And haven't been able to then move up to the next league. What's that noise? Is it? They found you, Councillor. They caught up with you. Yeah, and basically this will bring their ground to the standard, which means they can move up to the next division. Over there here, it's one. So the minimum covered accommodation must be 300, which 150 must be seated. Okay, so Environmental Health have commented recommending restricted working hours. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. I probably would abstain because, as I say, I have a small involvement occasionally with the club and know the chairman. I think personally, the project that, bearing in mind that I know a certain amount of what's going on there, the project that they're building and the community value that they're building around. Not just the first team, but the youth teams that is expanding into women's football, the walking football for those that can't sort of manage to run.
Is that you and I, Sharon?
Yeah. I played walking football with my dad, it's such good fun. Because you don't get so tired. But yeah, in terms of the project and the plans that they have, and in terms of their community value, I personally think that given this isn't turning them into, you know, it's not a huge stadium by the time this is finished, I personally would be in favour of it. I think it encourages all of the stuff that goes on around it. That's my view, but as I say, I will abstain when it comes to it. Councillor Finn-Hunter.
Yes, as you know, I declared a sort of a personal interest in terms of being a neighbour. But I would like to say that Exmouth Town Football Club has been doing very, very well in recent years, and I think we should do everything we can to encourage what they're doing. And as you say, I don't think there's anything in the building proposals which are out of the way for a local football club, and I'd very much be prepared to propose it on that basis.
Okay, thank you very much for speaking. Councillor Bramble and Councillor Bramble.
I'd like to second that and agree with everything actually Dom just said. Thank you, Chair.
Brilliant. Councillor Francois.
Of course I support everything to do to help the club, but I do see building a stadium, could increase their capacity as they get better about, but they're not improving the parking situation down, which I'm sure for people around the area is a bit of a problem. I don't can recommend a remedy to that situation, but I think it's something which should be bear all in mind.
Were Highways to consider a consultee on this one? I can't remember. I mean, I think if they were, they would comment it, but yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, well, I'm totally supportive of the club. Yeah. I can just see it becoming a problem. The club keeps on improving, going up and up in the crowd, increase. They don't have any parking down there now, do they?
There's a small car park. There is a small car park.
Okay, well, it shows how often I go to the football club there.
So they're not commented.
Okay.
So they're not commented. But, I think, obviously, if in 10 years' time they're knocking on the doors of being a league club, which obviously we'd all love, I think there are going to be things they're going to need to do, but at this stage and at this level of improvement. And actually, in terms of the noise, I know you're a neighbour, but actually having stands there is going to throw up the noise.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's a problem. So we do have a section.
All the music events.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. Speak to licensing.
Yeah, can I?
Yeah, go for
just
it.
Add with the car parking. There have been one or two complaints from down Carter Avenue about additional parking, but there's a debate in that road about the whole thing, and there are various people down there who think it's very little problem at all. One of the issues about the car park is that, and I do know about this because I had to use it for bus parking actually, so I have dealt with them on that. One of the issues is that WeBuyAnyCar.com now have about half of the car park devoted to them. So clearly the football club hasn't had any real need to actually use the whole car park for their people. It's the most peculiar situation, I thought. Opposite, on the other side of Southern Road, there are quite a number of laid-back bays where people can park freely. So people do that as well.
Okay, I can just visualise. I'm sure I've seen signs down there asking people not to park because of the football and stuff.
I should think you might have done, and I should think that's from some of the people who object to parking in general.
Okay, so in terms of the application itself, all those points will be noted in the minutes. Highways haven't commented. But in terms of those, we have the proposal and a second council value for approval. So all those in favour, maybe against, and I will abstain. Okay, so we now move to Widdicombe Raleigh, where we have none.
So controversial ones in Widdicombe side show.
Yeah. Sat there all relaxed.
Yeah.
Oh, so now, notification of new premises licence, a premises licence variation received. So this is another item again for Exmouth Town Football Club. Effectively, it wants to add a small wooden beer selling shed on the other side of the Minnesota pitch. So they've got their red line on the license for the main building. It's just for, I think it's just for the use on match days. There's going to be somewhere where they'd like to sell beer on the other side, not just beer, on the other side of the ground as well. I think this is it. This is in preparation for the massive crowds we've just allowed them to accommodate. Does anybody have any comments on that at all? Councillor Nelson.
I've received comments from people. The concern is this won't only be match days. Since they've opened the club up quite a bit, I think most of the pictures obviously are all before it went to town. And a lot of the people down there are concerned that, you know, they like the playgroups and the things and things happen in the day, the community things. But what has been fed back to me is that in the evening they're starting to have more and more different events with more and more people coming, and unfortunately some of them coming out are quite abusive to the residents, or they're using language that they find offensive is probably the best thing to say. When they come out of there, some of them are young, some of them aren't so young, to be fair. And what they're concerned about is that, you know, it will be supposed to be for match days, and in the end they'll have them open when it's carnival, for example. You know, because they had their bars open before, which they didn't used to, then suddenly decided to open it because they wanted more revenue. And I understand that for the club, I really do. But I think there is a concern that they might well open it for other events and for other things that are happening in the street, or like the carnival's the one that's been highlighted to me, because obviously they're all communicating down in that area. And, you know, whether, you know, it won't be just match days, it'll suddenly start spreading, and then you'll have loads of people just humming into that one hut because they don't have to go into the main bar area. And that will cause a disturbance and cause, you know, a problem. But I wouldn't know, so I don't. Sorry, go to my football club.
No, I think that's a good point to make, and I would encourage people if they get if they do feel so in terms of the licensing objectives, which is what their license is based on. I mean, that sounds to me like public nuisance and potentially protection of children from harm. So I think if people come to you with those things, encourage them to speak to things just licensing at EDUC.
I think it's because it opens up. You know, it's a bit like the Grove, their one that they have, which is extending the Grove. You know, quite a lot of the people down the Esplanade complained about that because it started that it was going to be there for people to just expand the Grove, and then now they're all spilling out to the street when they have events in there because they open it up to save people going into the pub.
But I mean, in terms of like residents, you know, worrying about people piling out of there when things are finished, and in terms of, you mentioned the noise earlier on as well. If you can hear it from your house, I think it needs to be less than 100 decibels right outside the building.
So you can hear it when you go and bring drive, you can hear it in Bellevue Road, you can hear it in Holston Avenue.
Either yourselves or if residents report these things.
There's certainly other
licensing, no, definitely.
The whole time you can hear it as loud as day.
Because it's important that, you know, we can say to them now, this is happening, can you just watch this please? Get a sound level recorder, check it outside, encourage people when they leave to do it responsibly. Because otherwise it'll get to a point where something awful happens and then we'll turn around and go, we haven't got a license anymore. And that's not what we want. So in terms of this, well, have you got those comments that there is some concern about that? So in terms of their licensing hours, they're not changing, but then they're licensed all week anyway, aren't they? Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned protecting children from harm. I've got a suspicion that if this is sighted outside of the licensed premises, who is going to be there to determine there's no children, no young people in the queue? I can see it's going to be get in quick and get out, which I assume is the general idea, whereas in the licensed premises, young children can be kept away from the alcohol and certainly be spotted if they're attempting to buy it. But under these conditions, with this little hut, I'd like to see more control if that's possible. Thank you.
Okay, so if we can add a comment that there's concern that children will have access to it. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well,
we'll have access to it in a way that they wouldn't.
Yes, within the
licensing process. Yeah, okay. Councillor Roy-Toy.
Yeah, I know it's traditional for football supporters to like to have their beer at matches, and if they've all got easy access to it, they can access it in the football stadium. If they find it difficult, they're going to start bringing bottles and cans of beer in with them, so that would prevent that possibility happening. I mean, when I was very young, I used to play on the left wing. I'm still left wing in my politics. I've been to football matches where supporters have actually thrown beer bottles around. So they must also insist that they're in lightweight plastic, which is reusable containers. And so because of the possible threat of bringing their own booze in and all the rest of it, as long as it's restricted hours so that this doesn't extend way into the middle of the night, that's fair enough. So I'm inclined to approve it.
Yes, I think in terms of their current licensing conditions, which will apply to this as well, in terms of match day, certainly, they're not allowed glasses outside. So I think all of that's in place already, but no, that's good. So we have a few comments that we'd like to make, but I wouldn't necessarily suggest we're strongly objecting, but there are some things. And I would encourage you, as I say, if you hear anything, either report yourself or encourage those to either environmental health or licensing for the other issues. Does anybody else have any comments on that at all? No, so we can note that and move on then. We don't dwell on that, do we? I ask you that every time. I know you don't. We have some items for, we have no items for information. The planning decisions were, good Lord, they have agreed with us all. That's a surprise. Okay, so thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Chair.